You are listening to the audio production of Dancing and Donuts by Rachel Covacini, published by One Audiobooks. This book was originally published by White Rook Press and is read by Steve Corona. To access recipes and other material associated with this audiobook, please refer to the supplemental PDF paired with your audiobook, if available. For Larry and our kids, with all my loving. For Deborah, my chaperone. Let's drift. In memory of Bobby Darin. Soli Deo Gloria. Kansas, 1866. Chapter 1. When I reined in by the clapboard mercantile, I had no reason to think Peabody Crossing would hold any surprises. I'd passed through a fair number of similar towns in the last month. Quiet, a little lazy, dusty, boring. I'd needed a job for a week now. With me, I had only a dozen or so apples, one spare change of clothes, and enough money to put my horse up in a livery stable and myself up in a cheap hotel for 2 or 3 days. I needed to find work in this town or eat nothing but apples until I reached another. I'd gotten mighty tired of apples 2 days back. I tied my sway-backed piebald mare to an empty hitching post by the mercantile. Useless gesture. If I'm not on her and kicking, she doesn't move. But I tied her anyway. No sense taking a chance losing her, even if she's run down. That day, I felt run down enough myself to match her. But since we both had sound hooves and good teeth, neither of us had much to complain about. While I looped her reins over the rough bar, I glanced around the town. The entirety of its main street lay in front of me, maybe 20 buildings, with more houses scattered behind on both sides. I counted it as a decent-sized place, even though it had only one saloon. I noted 2 mercantiles, a church, a sod jail, and a solid edifice that might turn out to be a hotel or a rooming house. No sign out front to indicate which. Several houses lined the street, too, with more than a dozen others tucked behind various businesses. 2 mercantiles in one town showed there must be a lot of folks living out on ranches and farms nearby. I silently prayed that somebody would have a job for me, even if only for a couple weeks busting sod or prodding beef cattle. I only needed enough money in my pocket to last me until I found another cattle drive to take me on out of Kansas again. A better horse wouldn't hurt either, but that didn't hardly matter, for most outfits provided a string of cow ponies for their hands to use. That street lacked one thing. People. I saw only 2 others out and about, not counting myself. 2 middle-aged men in front of the jail. I pulled an apple out of one of my saddlebags and bit into it without any sort of enthusiasm whatsoever. Hunger curdled my insides all right, but not for apples, not anymore. I meandered across the street in hopes that one of them could tell me where I might find a job. One man occupied the open doorway of the jail, leaning sideways against the whitewashed door jamb and watching the second man hammer something onto a board beside the door. The first man said, "You think that's enough?"
$50. The second man snorted. "If it's not, I will give up. Just give right up and leave."
"That'd be a shame."
I'd gotten close enough by then to see that the first man, the one in the doorway, had a sheriff's star pinned to his vest. A star so polished it winked at me in the sunlight. A star that bright meant its wearer valued what it stood for, I thought. The other man snorted again.
"You sound like my wife."
He gave the nail one last wallop with his hammer, spun on his heel, and strode off down the street without another word. The sheriff shifted his attention to me. I stopped a little shy of the sidewalk and took another bite of my apple, trying to look respectable and non-threatening. Not that I'm such a shabby sight, though I am the one saying so. Meals haven't been as frequent as I'd appreciate, but I bought my clothes new not more than a year ago. But I was a stranger, and towns like that all sleep.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?